I saw in the spirit was I saw the Lord on a computer screen. I saw the cursor go up to the save icon and click the save button. How many know when you're working on a document, you know, when you get to the point where you've made some progress and you don't want to go backwards, you click the save button, right? You click the save button because you want it to be looking just like that when you go back to it and start working on it again. And so I just wanted to share that with you because you're here. You're sitting in your seat here today, and the Lord has reached up and clicked on the save button. So just think about what that means for you, but I wanted to share that with you. I also want to share something this morning that I believe will help us go deeper in our relationship with Jesus, where he has been calling us to for many years, right? He's been calling us deeper for many, many years. I want to share some things that will help us to be led by the Spirit, which will enable us to walk in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, worship in the Spirit, and enjoy all the fruits of the Spirit. In order for us to go deeper, live deeper, see deeper in the Spirit, we need a better understanding of our makeup. What are we made of? How do we identify with each of those parts that we are made up of? Through the OSL, we talked a little bit about our makeup. And in my studies recently, I've been reading a lot about our makeup and the different parts of us and how they function and how they're supposed to function and how we walk in the Spirit. And so I want to share that with you this morning because it's important if we want to walk in the Spirit to be able to differentiate between the Spirit and the soul and the body. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit," small s, "may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." How many want that? How many want your spirit, your soul, and your body ready for the Lord's coming? So how do these work? How do they work together? How do they function individually? Because they are all distinct and are all at the same time operating, all three existing together and are expected to work together for our good and in accordance with his plan for us. So on the road the other day, I was meditating, coming home from work, meditating on the message, and I said, what should the title of the message be? And the Holy Spirit gave me a chuckle. So the title of the message today is Me, Myself, and I. How many have ever used that term, me, myself, and I? Well, it's fitting because there is a me, myself, and I. There is a spirit, small s, body, a soul, and body. So me, myself, and I. So we're going to get to know a little bit about me, myself, and I this morning. So I'm going to show you how they all function and really just high level because this is so deep that all I'm going to be able to do this morning is just paint in broad strokes so that you can see and maybe even understand a little bit about the differences between spirit, small s, soul, and body. So let's try to do that today. So let's talk about the spirit, small s. Our spirit is the deepest part of us. This is where God breathes life into us, his spirit, not in our soul. Our spirit and the Holy Spirit are two different things. When you read the scriptures, you'll see there's a small s sometimes, and then there's a capital S. Well, that's not a typing error. It's talking about our spirit when it's the small s, and it's talking about the Holy Spirit when it's the big S. And if you read the scriptures after today, when you read the scriptures and you see those small s's and those big s's, you're going to be able to make some sense about it. It's going to make more sense to you what is being said, and that's important. So Romans 8:16 says, "The Spirit himself," capital S, "testifies with our spirit," small s, "that we are children of God." And all I'm trying to highlight there is that there are two different things there, the Holy Spirit and our spirit. Our spirit is where we can have God consciousness. This is where we can connect with the Holy Spirit. In fact, our spirit can almost be looked at as a placeholder for the Holy Spirit, just waiting for the Holy Spirit to come into us at the time of salvation. Now our spirit can testify with the Holy Spirit, and we can get the message. Now we got to talk about how do we get the message from the spirit to the body, right? Because we're supposed to be living out this walk. We're supposed to be using our bodies as his hands, his feet, his mouth. So how do we get from spirit, which is the deepest part of us and the part connected to the Holy Spirit, to our bodies actually walking out what Christ wants us to walk out? So you ever buy a new car? Well, in a new car, if you buy a car that's not the best, doesn't have the most features, you'll find sometimes in your dashboard there's a little cutout that needs to be knocked out if you want to have some function installed in your car. It's there, but it's not installed. Now, if you go into the car, you go into the dashboard, you'll see that, you know, it's already connected to the wiring harness, it's already internally ready to be used, but that switch has not been installed into your car yet. But it's the place where that switch would be installed. So when the Holy Spirit came into us, it was almost like the switch was installed. That function was installed in us to be able to connect with the Holy Spirit and give us the mind of Christ. That's how we get the mind of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit will not reside in our flesh or in our soul. It resides in our spirit. This is important because spirit is where we understand. You remember the other day when we had the billows going? Well, you're not going to understand that in the natural. We need to understand that in the spiritual. So you'll have half the room all excited and ready to get back and forth underneath the billows, and you'll have other people sitting there going, what is going on here? Doesn't the Bible tell us that the things of the Spirit will be like foolishness to the natural man? We yet understand the natural man is our soul. That's not going to line up so much with the Spirit of God. In fact, how many of us are always looking for agreement when the Holy Spirit speaks something? We're looking for agreement. We need to agree with this. The problem is we're trying to find agreement at the soul level. And that's usually not going to happen. The agreement comes when our witness bears testimony with the Holy Spirit. So we really need to understand the difference between spirit, soul, body. We'll get to body. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on body, but body's the tool. Body's just a tool that is led by some driving force. Today, unfortunately, it's more driven by the soul, and we're being called to be driven more by the spirit. And so in order for us to differentiate between soul and spirit, it becomes very, very important. Would you agree? The things of God will seem like foolishness to the natural man. Let's remember that. This is why we try to fill gaps. The soul is where we interpret some gap in the spirit. See, the soul is connected to the spirit. There is some connection there. And this is where we feel the gap, and this is where we try to fill that gap with all sorts of things, drugs, sex, alcohol, relationships, whatever, because we sense the gap. But the gap really is that connection with the Holy Spirit. It's not something that resides in our soul. It's really the gap of connecting with God that we're trying to fill. So if we understand the spirit and the soul, we have a better chance of satisfying the dictates of the spirit and feeling whole, feeling complete, feeling fulfilled. Have you ever led somebody to Christ or stepped out and did something that God wanted you to do? It was a little anxious at first, a little nervous at first, but after you did it, there was complete joy, complete peace. Like, there is no place where I would rather be than right here, right now, in obedience with what God has told me to do. There is no gap at that point. There is no need. It's filled. And it's filled at the spiritual level. Not that the soul can't take pleasure in it, but we've got some work to do before that can happen. So Hebrews 4:12 says that, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." The word, we know this, right? We know this scripture. The word is sharper than a two-edged sword, able to divide between soul and spirit. So there is a need to divide between soul and spirit. That's how the word helps us. So what does it mean? How does it work practically? How does the word of God come in and separate between soul and spirit? Well, when the word tells you to pray for your enemies, what do you feel in your soul? That's craziness. It's foolishness. I'm not doing that. But if we connect with the Spirit of God, that's where we're jumping for joy. Pray for my enemies. Hallelujah. Amen. Where are they? Bring them on. Let's pray for them. Do you see the difference? It's one example, just a very small example of how the word divides between soul and spirit. Now, over time, that division may be harder because our soul should start to line up more with the spirit. And so things just start to flow, and that confrontation, that butting of heads between soul and spirit gets less and less. But at least at the beginning, there's going to be a confrontation. It's going to be clear where the difference is between soul and spirit, because you're going to feel it rise up. That emotional response to, I'm not doing that, this is craziness. That's the soul. That's the soul. The spirit inside is saying, no, hand it off to me, tag me in. Let me take it from here. But the soul is not willing to give it up. And so that's why it's the soul that needs to be saved. It doesn't say saving our spirit, small s. It doesn't say saving our body. It says saving our soul. Because the soul, and we'll get more into it, but the soul is what makes us us individually. All of our intellect, all of our emotions. And so when the spirit begins to flow through the soul into the body, it's where the soul is where the spirit picks up all of our individual nuances and our character and the way that we like to do things. So it takes on a little bit of our own personality, and that's why it can be so individual. It's the same Spirit of God, but the individuality comes when it flows through your soul to your body. Does that make sense? We need to be able to learn to discern between our own spirit. We will struggle to learn to communicate with God, hear from God. We will always default to relying on the thoughts and emotions and reasonings of the soul. That's going to be our default. Where it says, lean not on your own understanding, take your thoughts captive, those scriptures, it's talking about take your soul captive, submit it to the spirit. So let's talk a little bit. So that's spirit. Let's talk a little bit about the soul. Again, it's just broad strokes here because the topics are too deep, but I think we're going to go forward. We're going to talk more about these things because we need to understand more clearly. What does it mean to operate in the spirit? What does it mean to worship in spirit and truth? Well, how many come in on a Sunday, the worship team starts up, but you know what? We're just so focused on all the other things that we have going on that we cannot enter into worship. Ever have that? I've had that. More times than I care to admit, I come in feeling like that. But that's where it's time to put the soul down, connect with the Spirit of God, where all of our thanksgiving really lies, and allow that spirit of thanksgiving to rise up in us and praise God. Even if you look around, everything you see for the next year just doesn't look like it's going to go your way, or for the last year it hasn't gone your way. If you can't worship, you're in the soul. Worshiping in spirit and in truth is putting that aside and saying, despite those things, despite what I see in front of me, by faith, my answers are already given. And they're good answers. And they're a favorable outcome. How many know God is for us, right? Isn't there always a favorable outcome? Not meaning that we're always going to like the outcome, but He knows what we need more than we know what we need. He knows what's better for us than we do. I've gone through some things and they didn't come out the way I wanted, but you know, when I can look back a couple of years, I can say, you know what, Lord, you knew better. And that's always going to be the case. So the soul is the middleman. This is where self-consciousness operates. Our soul is the part of us that makes us us, basically, to the outside world. Our soul is where the sin nature resides. It's where our emotions, our intellect, and where our character resides. This is why, again, it's our souls that need saving. Our soul was originally intended to facilitate subjection of the physical body to the Spirit of God. But due to the fall, it has become the bane of our existence. How many know the soul has become the bane of our existence? When we're praying, God, I don't know what it's going to take to get to where I need to be able to connect with you in a way that I never have been able to connect, to walk in the Spirit, talk in the Spirit, see in the Spirit. You know, we're praying against the soul. That's what we're praying against. And it's okay. It's good to pray against the soul, but it's also important to know what we're praying against. We're praying against the soul. The soul needs healing. The soul is important to God because it is what makes us individual. So it's not like the body where the body is just going to be, you know, dust to dust. The soul is important. The soul needs saving. The soul is part of what makes us unique in our expression with each other, in our expression of the Holy Spirit, in the way that we serve God. Our soul is intended to accept from the Holy Spirit and pass it on to the body, the physical body. This is how it's supposed to happen. We get a word from the Holy Spirit, our soul takes that, interprets it, and passes it on to the body, and how it's supposed to be worked out in each one of us individually. But today, the soul stops it and says, I'm not doing that. This is ridiculous. This is foolishness. And because this is what we've been feeding, this is where we've been living, this is what we understand the most, it's the soul that's been ruling over the body. And that needs to change. The soul needs to change. When we say transforming of our mind through the Word of God, the mind is part of our soul. And how do we transform our soul? By taking in the Word of God. But not just taking it in. Doesn't the Bible also say that we need to be doers of the word? This is where we put the soul, this is where we put the flesh to the fire, so to speak. For us, it's just a matter of choice. It's that simple. And so when you're in the word, when you're reading the word, you're feeding your spirit. Those choices are a lot easier to make, aren't they? It's when we're not in the Word. It's when we're just keep feeding the soul, the flesh, and the desires of the flesh. You know, the staying in our comfort zone, the not doing what God is telling us to do, the turning a deaf ear to what the Holy Spirit is trying to convey to us. We're feeding the soul. We're feeding that soul that is keeping us from operating in the Spirit. But it keeps us from so many other blessings and promises as well. And the Bible also tells us that what is born of the flesh is flesh. Now, what that means really is we were born of flesh, right? Your father was flesh, your mother was flesh, we're born of the flesh. The flesh is always going to be the flesh. So by us trying to put down the flesh, and if that's our focus, put down the flesh, we've got to deny ourselves, we've got to, you know, that's, the fight is going to be very difficult. It's when we put our eyes on Him, we focus on Him, we meditate on Him, we're in His Word. That's how we fight the soul. We focus on the Spirit. He's already made a provision for us through the cross that the flesh is died. It's still there. We still have to deal with it. What is born of the flesh is flesh. But we need to be elevating, escalating the Spirit of God. And that's how we put the flesh to death. It's not put the flesh to death so I can operate in the Spirit more. No, it's operate in the Spirit more so I can put the flesh to death. Do you understand? There's a difference, right? We can spin our wheels, we can spend years trying to put the flesh to death when He already put the works of the flesh to death. We have to work it out in ourselves. It's part of working out our salvation, is putting the flesh down, getting that soul to align more with the Spirit and pass what the Spirit is saying onto the body. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete." You know, when we read that scripture, "For the weapon of our warfare is not flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses," we don't think of ourselves as being the fortress. We don't think of our soul as being the fortress. We think there's some Leviathan out there, something external, you know, the powers that are ruling over our nation and all the evil things that are happening. We got to fight those things. No, how about we just start the fight right here? This is where the fortress is. And the weapons of our warfare against this fortress are not carnal. It's not going to happen carnally. It's only going to happen spiritually. Can you see it? The way we become more aligned with His will and the way we walk in the freedom and victory that were made available to us is to elevate the Spirit of God. I've got another scripture. If we can go to Hebrews 12:12. Hebrews 12:12 says, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Fixing our eyes on Jesus is how we defeat the flesh. Not beating our flesh into submission to satisfy the work of the Lord. It's the other way around. So let's stop fighting the flesh. That is the biggest waste of time. A lot of us have been fighting the wrong fight. We're trying to fight the flesh. No, let's just focus on Jesus. Let's just focus on the Word. Let's be doers of the Word. And whenever the Bible, that Word cuts between spirit and soul, make the decision for the Spirit. You see it? It's in every decision. It's every choice. When the Word calls it out, are you going to do something about it? Are you going to do what the Word says to do? Or are you going to do what your soul wants you to do, which is keep you in your comfort zone? Doesn't it say our hearts are wickedly deceitful? Doesn't the Bible tell us that? The heart is kind of the essence of our soul. This is why. Our hearts are deceitfully wicked because our hearts cannot accept the things of God. Psalm 7:9 says, "Oh, let the evil of the wicked come to an end, but establish the righteousness, for the righteous of God tries the hearts and minds." Our hearts and minds need to be converted, transformed, healed. When it says, "By His stripes we were healed," it's not just a physical healing, it's also the healing of the relationship between us and Father, so that we can have the Holy Spirit residing in us, so that we can have the mind of Christ. But what are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? It's John 3:30 that says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And this is our soul that needs to decrease. If we get our soul in line, guess what? Our thinking and our body get in line too. Galatians 5:22-23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." We need to understand, let's just take a look at one, self-control. That's a big one. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Self-control, how many are trying to work up our own form of self-control? I just can't do it. Why do I have, didn't Paul say the very things I know I should be doing are the things I can't do? And the things that I shouldn't be doing are the things that I am forever doing? And then he makes the distinction between soul and spirit. He says it's the sin nature that dwells in me. But we don't have to live according to that sin nature. He dealt with the sin nature. We have to now deal with the sin nature. With every decision, every time the Word of God tells us to do something and we feel that rise up, identify it as the soul rising up and the need to subject it to the Spirit and do what the Word calls out for us to do. When we do that, this is what walking in the Spirit is. It's not that complex. He makes it very easy for us to do what he's asking for us to do. He knows very well that we're dealing with flesh. He knows that. He knows we have a soul that's been corrupted and needs to be healed and transformed. He knows that. How many thank God that he knows that? But he still puts up with us. He still deals with us. He still speaks with us. Still wants to use us just the way we are. And we should not just be receiving all those fruits of the Spirit for ourselves to make us feel good. We should be pouring out those same things. We should be ministering to others. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. It's the kind of person we need to be to the people around us, whether we love them or we don't love them. Doesn't matter. And you know, we can win the fight over the soul. You need to hear that. You can win the fight over the soul. Third John 1:2 says, "Beloved, I pray that in all respects that you may prosper and be in good health just as your soul prospers." You ever wonder why the promises of God just don't seem to be opened up to me? Something's blocking the promises of God from me. Well, it's the lack of progress being made in our soul. As we prosper in our soul, which means as we get more connected to the Spirit of God, then the promises of God can be released. How many know? He's not going to condone our wicked behavior by pouring out his blessings every time we do something that doesn't line up with his will. He's gracious in that. He's merciful in that. He has done that and will do that. But if we want to walk in the promises of God, if we want to walk in the victory that Christ made available to us, the soul has to be put down. And again, how do we do that? We focus on the Spirit. We elevate the Spirit of God. We begin to do the things that the Spirit of God and the Word of God are telling us to do, and guess what? The soul will bow. The soul will bow. The soul is not going to bow to our natural desires and needs because it's a conflict. But when the Spirit gets involved, how many know the Spirit must bow? Every knee will bow. I have a scripture here. I'm not going to read it though. I said it. You know, when God speaks to you and gives you a word, some of us just received a word in presbytery, right? Now, some of you are going to reject that word. This is not a word from God because you don't agree with it. It's not what you thought you were going to hear. So I reject it. Instead of doing what the Bible tells us to do, taking it to him, praying on it, meditating on it, and trying to understand what our role is in making that word come to pass. Because it's not now you got a word, sit back and wait for God to do it. No, there's a day-to-day, every single day, opportunity for you to do something that helps you get there. How many times have you heard pastors say, we partner with God? This is where we partner with God. We take the word. The first thing we need to do is make sure that we have accepted that word. And we need to do that every time we read the Bible. We have to accept that word as truth and as a word for us. And then once we do that, it's easier. Still will be a struggle, but it becomes easier to push forward in the fruition of bringing that word to pass in our own life. All right, so we talked about the soul. Let's talk a little bit about the body, the physical body. This is where the senses reside, right? Touch, sound, taste, feel, all those different things. The body is a tool, really, to be subjected to the promptings of original intention, Holy Spirit. The physical bodies are intended to be the hands and feet and mouth of God, not to be abused with sinful activities and sinful reasonings and sinful thoughts that we meditate on. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Do you see your body as a temple of the Holy Spirit? 1 Corinthians 12:27, now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. Individually members of it. Romans 12:1 says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Spiritual service, not soulish service, but spiritual service. Subject your body to what it is that the Spirit is saying. Our bodies are meant to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit through that handoff between spirit and soul and body. I'm going to start to close. I only have 3 points. I'm going to start to close. It's going to take me a little bit of time here, but much of what Christians consider to be spiritual is actually emotional. Much of what we think, oh, I'm feeling the Spirit of God moving. No, you're feeling an emotional response. And we equate an emotional response with a spiritual thing. And that's a big blocker. That's a big blocker for us. See, you know, emotion is in the soul. Emotion is not in the spirit. So if we're being ruled by emotions, governed by emotions, driven by emotions, guess what? We're missing the spirit. The emotions were given to us to enjoy life. When we look at something beautiful and we say, oh, that is beautiful, there's a feeling that happens inside of you, right? Somebody does something that, you know, blesses you, you feel, right? That was the original intent of emotion. But since the fall, emotions have taken a huge twist and turn and perversion. And the problem is we deal with those things every single day. And they're mountains. These are some of the mountains that need to be brought low, is the emotion. But we think, because we're feeling it, it must be the Spirit of God. And that's not the case. In fact, what it's doing is it's causing us to dig our heels in the soul and be more unwilling to move from there. When we connect the emotion with the Spirit, we are so deceiving ourselves. Emotions have a place. They do. Our bodies are meant to be tools. Let's try to remember that. Romans 13:14 tells us to make no provision for the flesh. Or does it say make some provision for the flesh? No, it says make no provision for the flesh. By no, do you think they mean some? Or do you think they mean none? Make no provision for the flesh. Who makes provision for the flesh? We do. In our thoughts, in letting our emotions rule, we make provision for the flesh. What about our heart? It's the essence of our soul, deceitful and wicked, tainted by the sin nature. This is why God wants to get at our hearts. He wants to change our hearts. Galatians 5:16-17 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." You see it? Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. There's an order to the word. Do you notice that? There's an order, the way the word says things. There's a particular order in the way he says it. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Humbling ourselves is the first step in quenching the desires of the flesh. You want to put the soul down, you want to have the soul submit to the Spirit. One of the best ways to do that is doing what the Word says: humble yourself. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Once we humble ourselves, once we're in that state of humility, we can then receive the Word into our spirit and engage in the process of sanctification and transformation into the image of Christ. James 1:21 says, "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save" what? Your souls. It says the Bible confirms itself. Don't you just love it when the Bible confirms itself? I mean, it just confirms everything that we're talking about here. It confirms itself. Humility comes first. Receiving the word implanted then can happen. Now here's another important one. James 4:5 says, "Or do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us." He jealously desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us. Do you ever have a loved one, or let's just say a good friend, and that good friend got married, and maybe because, you know, one of that relationship, they're very self-conscious people, they don't want that person out relating with their friends anymore because they feel like that would, you know, that would diminish them in the eyes of that person. So what happens is you don't see that person. They got married, and you don't see that person anymore. You might see the one, but you don't see the other. They make sure that they don't ever mix with their friends. You ever experienced something like that? Where somebody gets married, good friend, and all of a sudden you can't even have a relationship with them anymore. I've had that experience. And so by us having the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, it's almost like that. Holy Spirit comes in us, all of a sudden now the Lord has no connection with the Holy Spirit in us. Because we don't know how to let the Holy Spirit come out of us. See, what it's saying here is that God gave us the Holy Spirit, and he expects to see the Holy Spirit in us, in the way that we act, in the way that we think, in the things that we do. And when we continue to look like we've always looked, God is looking at us with a jealousy towards the Holy Spirit that we're keeping from operating in us. Do you understand what I'm saying? He jealously desires the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. He jealously desires for the expression of the Holy Spirit to be coming out of us in the things that we say, do. He's jealous for the Holy Spirit. And we're blocking the manifestation of the Holy Spirit by submitting to the flesh, really, the soul, just staying in our comfort zones, you know, considering the word foolishness and not doing what the word says. He's looking for signs. He's looking for some resemblance of the Holy Spirit when he looks at us. Walking in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, worshiping in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, these are all things we can do. It's all things we can do. Can you say, I can do it? Just out loud, I can do it. I can walk in the Spirit. I can talk in the Spirit. I can worship in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Romans 13:14 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lusts. Once we start to look at the Scriptures and we understand Spirit, small s, Spirit, big S, soul, body. When you read the Word and you see the small s, it's going to make sense to you now. It's going to make more sense to you now. When you see the capital S, it's going to make more sense to you now. So many more Scriptures are going to be opened up to us just by understanding what we're made of. It's exciting, even for myself. It's a recent revelation. It's one of those things that's very fundamental, very foundational, but if we don't get this, we're going to be struggling for the rest of our lives, fighting the soul, fighting the flesh, when that's not where the fight is. He dealt with that fight. He freed us up to focus on Him and gave us our Holy Spirit to make it possible. We're blocking it. How many say, I want to stop blocking the Holy Spirit? So can you say amen this morning? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning. Thank you for the revelation. Thank you for helping us to understand even ourselves better this morning. Father, thank you that you are always equipping us, encouraging us, calling us to walk more in the Spirit. That's where you are. That's where we meet with you. That's where we hang out with you. That's where we chill with you. That's where we get to just sit with you and talk and be touched by you and be healed. So, Father, we just give ourselves afresh to you this morning. Just continue to breathe on this word, Lord, as we go forward and as we read your word, highlight these things. Thank you that the word is, it does divide between spirit and soul. Help us to be aware of those opportunities when they happen, Lord, when it happens and we need a choice. We need to make a choice, Lord. But Father, we cannot say thank you enough this morning for your faithfulness, for your graciousness, for your mercy. And we are encouraged this morning, Lord. And we thank you for that, because our encouragement this morning comes from you. And we're grateful and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.